to be here. It feels great to be saved, but I'm not going on feeling tonight. Amen. After about 400 miles, I ain't feeling so great. But I'm glad to be here. Amen. Never want to complain about the opportunity to get to preach, especially in a great church like this. Amen. This thing is so long and I'm so short, I got to wrap it. I'm sorry, Pastor. Amen. I'll get it on tomorrow night before time comes to preach. Amen. All right. Well, it's a joy to be here. Thank y'all for letting us come. Amen. Good to see Brother Leland and his wife. Amen. Brother Harvey and all y'all again. We thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Amen. And look forward to a good week together. Amen. Thank you for the nice room, preacher. Amen. After that drive today, I started not to come. I just started to stay over there and stay in the motel and rest. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we thank y'all for always a joy when the pastor comes and asks me to preach. Amen. Brother Sexton calls me up and asks me to come to preach. I'm overwhelmed at the opportunity. Amen. Well, I got good glasses, preacher. I got good glasses, and I pulled over to the church the other morning. And I had them in my pocket. I had to go preach somewhere, and I had them in my pocket. And I got out of the car, and I leaned over to do something, and they fell out my pocket. I don't know why I'm telling you all this, but anyway, I'm telling you because I want you to know why I'm wearing these glasses. So when I went in, then I went uptown to the post office to get the mail, and I got back to the church, and I couldn't find my glasses. I said, well, I must have left them at the post office. So I run back uptown and couldn't find them in the post office. I pulled back up in the churchyard to go in my office and ran over my glasses. So I've been wearing these Clark Kent glasses. Make you feel like Superman. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Y'all can't see me. I can't see y'all, but y'all can see me. Amen. I can't stand these glasses, I'm telling you. Look like a professor. Amen. I can assure you I ain't one of them. Amen. But thank y'all for letting us come. I'm honored when I get to come. Amen. Thank y'all so much. Amen. I want to turn to Ruth tonight, if you would. Over there in the Old Testament. Amen. Ruth chapter number 4, if you'd turn there. I never preached out of Ruth. I probably told it here before because I think I have preached out of Ruth before here in revival. But one day I was in a meeting. I remember it was in Galilee Baptist Church. And it was a big meeting. A lot of preachers there. Big crowd, packed and jammed. And the preacher got up and said, turn to the book of Ruth. Now, I was preaching in that meeting. And the preacher got up and said, turn to the book of Ruth. And I am telling you, preacher, my mind went blank. I knew it wasn't in the New Testament. Amen. But my mind went blank on where Ruth was. And I had preachers sitting all around me. I had preachers sitting all around me. And I could not think where Ruth was. And I could hear them thinking. Now, he's preaching in the meeting, and he don't know where Ruth is. And so I fanned my Bible, and I couldn't find it. Amen. Finally, I turned to the index. Amen. Found the book of Ruth. Amen. So I suggest if you haven't found it by now, just fake it. Amen. And let's stand together, if you would, and we'll read a couple of verses there. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Thank God serving God is real. Amen. This is real. What we're doing tonight is real. Amen. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Let's read there in chapter number 4. We begin in verse number 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and it became nurse unto it. And the women, notice he keeps talking about the women, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed, and he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now I want to use that thought tonight. I want to preach from that thought tonight. I was reading that, and over in the margin of my Scofield Bible, and you don't have to have a Scofield Bible, but over in the margin, it marked Obed gives reference to being worshipped. And so Obed was born. And so I want to preach on that thought tonight, when worship was born. When worship was born. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us come tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God. Thank you for this great church. Lord, we've had the honor and the privilege, Lord, beyond my wildest imagination, to be able to preach numbers of years in this great church. Thank you for the pastor and thank you for the great people in this church, Lord. And God, we need your help now tonight. We're not here to be an entertainer, not here to be some kind of performer, not here to try to do anything but other than exalt Christ. And I pray you'd help me to do that tonight. Lord, I shall need your power to do that. And I pray you'd anoint me. God, touch me in every way, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And God, may we get some help tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When I read that and I read about Obed being born and his name being meaning worship, the thought of worship being born. And when you know, and I'm sure most of us in this building know the story of Ruth. It's a short book, four chapters, and involves numbers of characters there: Elimelech, Naomi, Ruth, Boaz, and we could name all of them tonight: Mahlon, Chilion, Orpha. When you think about all the characters involved in the book of Ruth, and then it concludes by naming a man named Obed, the outcome or the result of all that transpired in this book is to get us down to the last chapter, that worship was born. And I say that to say this: this is a book of redemption. Matter of fact, one great writer, most of you preachers probably know for sure, named Mr. Boone, he wrote a commentary on this book called The Romance of Redemption. So Ruth is a book of redemption, amen. So the whole of this story, from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4, is redemption. And redemption is in our lives is no other purpose, greater purpose, is to get us to worship God. Redemption in our lives, the outcome of that is that we would worship God. I believe that's why God planned redemption. God planned redemption so that He would have a people of their own volition would worship the God of heaven, because He has redeemed us by His marvelous grace. Amen. So the marvelous conclusion of the book of Ruth is that man would worship God. Amen. And we see that in the title, Worship Was Born, because this book commences with a man disobeying the will of God. But it concludes with a man obeying the will of God. Elimelech disobeyed God. Boaz obeyed God. This book commences with tragedy. This book concludes with triumph. This book commences with death, but it ends in delight. What brought all that to pass? Redemption. Amen and amen. I was dead in trespasses and sin, but God redeemed me, and now I am delighted to be saved. Amen. It commences with heartbreak, but it concludes with happiness. It commences with brokenness and barrenness, but it concludes with a woman having a baby boy. It commences with a child dying or children dying, but it concludes with children being born. It commences with a woman losing her husband, but it concludes with a woman getting her husband. Now, what brought all that to pass was in between all of that is redemption took place. And God's desire is that He has done this for us is that we would worship God. God's purpose in redemption is that we would worship God. It's placed in a very vital place in the Bible. It's the 8th book of the Bible. That's a number of new beginning. It's placed between Judges and Samuel, the decline of the nation of Israel, and the setting up of the kingdom of Israel. And right in the middle between that is a Jew and a Gentile in a field, amen, gleaning for the glory of God. As a picture of the church. I'm telling you, the nation of Israel is in decline tonight. But thank God it's fixing to be set up. And right in the middle of that is a Jew and a Gentile gleaning in the field. That's the church. I'm in the church, amen. And redemption brought that to pass. I wish I could see y'all, amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? God's purpose in His providence is not to make us comfortable, but is to make us conformable. Is anybody listening? Now, with that thought in mind, I want to give you a couple of thoughts tonight, amen, that God works to get us to redemption. I want you to look back in chapter number 2. Look in verse number 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And then over in verse 16, and here's what he said. And he said, let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So God got this woman, Ruth, come out of Moab, and now she's in Boaz's field, gleaning for the glory of God. And here's what Boaz said. Drop her some handfuls on purpose. And I want to use that simple thought tonight to say a couple of things in regards to what God uses to get us to redemption. First of all, listen to this. He uses people. God uses people to get us to redemption. Now, y'all don't write me off on this, because I'm going to say some things that don't set well with us. God used Elimelech to get Ruth to know the God of heaven. Now stay with me. Elimelech was backslid out of the will of God. His name means my God is King. He was not living up to his name. And yet, God used this man away from God to introduce Ruth to the God of heaven. Now y'all stay with me now, because I'm going to tell you, y'all, this ain't going to set well. God used man named Elimelech to introduce a Gentile woman to the God of heaven. God uses people we would never use. Y'all got to stay with me now. God used a man backslid on God to introduce this woman, or to plant the seed for this woman to be redeemed. Amen and amen. Notice this. She married a man named Mahlon. He was never to marry her. Are y'all listening to me? He married her out of the will of God. But yet he knew the God of heaven. He was in a home that his mama and his daddy knew the God of heaven. She didn't know the God of heaven. She was worshiping a false god. And yet God let their paths cross. Out of the will of God they married, but God is using this man to plant the seed of the true God of heaven in her heart. Amen and amen. Y'all quieter than what I thought y'all was going to be. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say to us tonight, God uses people we would never use. I won't tell you now, I'm going to be up front with it. I'm an independent Baptist from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. That ain't real high. But I am an independent Baptist. But God uses people we would never use to introduce people to the God of heaven. Amen and amen. God, listen to this. God used Naomi out of the will of God. And what did she tell Ruth and Orpah? Go back to your home people. What kind of advice is that? She knows the God of heaven. She's out of the will of God with her husband. Out of the will of God. And she tells her, go back to your false gods. In essence, she didn't say that, but that's where she told her to go. Go back to Moab. I'm going back to Bethlehem, Judah. You go back to Moab. If she'd have did what she said, she'd have died lost. Amen and amen. I'm simply saying, God uses people we would never use. This was not an ideal situation. Amen and amen. But I want to say this to you tonight. Look back on your past. I want to say, first of all, I wasn't raised an independent Baptist. Now, if y'all will stay with me and think I'm saved, I'll tell you where I got saved. I got saved in the Pentecostal church. Is anybody listening? I was preaching one night in a big, well, it wasn't. I was preaching one night in a meeting in North Carolina. I was preaching at Chancey Carter's one night. The building was packed and jammed. The preachers, there was preachers galore. And right in the middle of my statement, I said, I got saved in a Pentecostal church. And a young preacher slapped his Bible shut and said, he ain't even saved. And the old preacher was sitting by and said, stupid, open your Bible up and listen to the man preach. Let me tell you something. God, if this world depended on only independent Baptists, most of them would go to hell. And I'm for what we do. And I believe we're right. But God will work outside the box to get people saved. Amen and amen. Amen. I wasn't raised in, matter of fact, I was raised in a drunkard's home. My daddy was a town drunk. Amen. My mama was saved, but she didn't know no doctrine. Amen. She had enough God on her to save her daddy till he got saved. Somebody help me. What are you trying to say, preacher? My mama didn't know a lot of doctrine, but she prayed I'd get saved. Amen and amen. Hey, my grandma was full of blood Pentecostal. I'm talking about the old time. I'm talking about the hair up in a bun. Somebody help me. I'm talking about her dress down to her ankles. I'm talking about her sleeves down to her. I wish we had some of them among independent Baptists. Somebody help me. Amen. And she wrote me a note when I graduated from high school. And she said, Alfred, my grandmama wrote me, Pentecostal mom. Grandmama said, I am praying that God would save you. And hey, when my grandma, I went to church as a young boy. I went to church with my grandmama. I seen her shout down the aisle. Amen. She's saying things I couldn't understand. Somebody help me. Bobby pins was flying everywhere. Her hair fell down to her waist. And when I got saved, they said, Alfred, you got some of what your grandmama got. I said, yeah. She shouted, hers fell down. I shouted, mine fell out. Somebody. My grandmama, who did not believe in eternal security, prayed that I'd get saved. I am telling you, whether we like this or not, God uses people we wouldn't use. Amen and amen. I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying God is God. You ain't put God in the box. God's going to get outside the box. Amen and amen. I was working with a Church of God man on the job. Amen. Matter of fact, I didn't know it the night I got saved. He was in the meeting the night I got saved. He said, I saw three people running down the aisle. You was running ahead of them and two women running behind you. I walked into the shop the next morning. He had already got there. Already told all them welders and pipe fitters what had happened to me. Amen. And then he told me, hey, Alfred, you got saved, man. It was glorious. I said, amen. He said, but man, you need to get the Holy Ghost. I said, the what? I'm like them believers over in the book of Acts. Get the what? He said, you need to get the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching all this to say something. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, you got saved, but you need to get the Holy Spirit. I said, how do you do that? He said, man, just pray that God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. So I'm praying God would fill me with the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's all I had to go on. I was going on, I wasn't around this crowd right here. There are people that say that don't know what we know. That's why young people, listen to me, young people, listen. You know what, I was reading 1 John one day, I studied 1 John. Here's what I read. I never read this before. It said 1 John was written to third generation believers. What does that mean? First generation believers believe the Bible because of a conviction. Second generation believe the Bible because they believe the Bible because just a belief. They have a belief of the Bible. Or they say they believe the Bible. Third generation believe it because it's an opinion. In my church right now, Brother Harvey, with my great-grandson, I've got four generations. I'm pastoring down to fourth generation of my church. Here's what I found out. Third generation, here's what they believe. They believe because the preacher said it. Y'all quiet. They believe it because the preacher said, you better get deeper than the preacher. You better get deeper than mom and daddy. You better get a conviction that this Bible is the Word of God. Amen and amen. I am telling you, I'm seeing that in my church. I'm seeing that in my church. They have it. Hey, that's the preacher's opinion. Here's what they say. Why are you doing it? Well, that's the preacher's opinion. No, it ain't the preacher's opinion. It's the Bible. And if you go, hey, you'll stay with God as long as the preacher does. You better begin to believe that this Bible is the Word of God. And what we're preaching from the Bible is what thus saith the Lord. It's not the preacher's opinion. Amen and amen. My point is simply this. Hey, God settled some things in my heart after I got saved. I found out that way wasn't right. I found out, bless my grandma, I really do believe she's saved. And she's in heaven. Not because she's my grandmama, just I believe she got saved. But she was in error about something. And hey, I didn't follow the teachings of my grandmama. I followed the teaching of the Word of God. And my mama was influenced by her mama, my grandmama. And I said, Mama, I can't go that way. I believe the Bible. You better get it settled. This is the Bible. Not just what the preacher said. It's the Bible. Some of us had to scrape and claw to get to where we are today. You were raised. I'm saying that's good you were raised in this. Hallelujah. But isn't it amazing sometimes the ones who sit under this kind of preaching are the hardest ones to reach? Hey, we didn't get this because mom and daddy taught us this. We got this because the Holy Ghost taught us this. Amen and amen. So I was working with a church of God. He was trying to get me to get the Holy Ghost. I was surrounded by Pentecostal people. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Hey, they were witnessing to me. They were praying for me. Amen and amen. Matter of fact, I preached one time in Tennessee. I won't tell you where. Somewhere in Tennessee. I remember it was Tennessee. And a man walked through after I was shaking hands. And he said, you know who you remind me of? I said, who? He said, Jesse Duplantis. I said, Jesse who? He said, Jesse Duplantis. I didn't know who Jesse Duplantis was. I come to find out he's a Pentecostal preacher. But I found this out too. He is filthy rich. I said, I wish I had his money. Is anybody listening? My point is saying that this. Hey, I preached in the prison about 2 weeks ago. This is the truth. I preached in the prison about 2 weeks ago. The guard who has to be in the service, the guard has to be in the service. I went walking out. He said, you're doing good, Jesse. You're doing good. I wish somebody would tell Jesse and he'd leave me in his will. Amen. Here's my point. My point is God uses people we wouldn't use. Jeff Crunch, Brother Jeff Crunch, who runs our men's home. He was a long haired, had an afro haircut, ear rings in his ears. This was way back then. Drug addict, was working on the shrimp boat. A man walked by, saw him working on the shrimp boat, and said, hey, sir, said, we're having a Bible study at our house. Would you come? He said, he'd never been asked to do it. He's raised Lutheran. He said, a what? He said, we're having a Bible study. Would you come? He said, I reckon so. He was a Presbyterian. They had the wrong Bible. Jeff said, I just went because the man was nice enough to ask me. He said, I sat down and listened to the Bible. He said, I didn't know no difference then. He said, they was teaching out the wrong Bible. He said, but I'll tell you what they were doing. They were planting seed in my heart. He said, I got off of that. I finally quit that job. I went on another job. And God put two independent Baptist boys on the job with me. And he said, what those guys were telling me is what he was telling me. But they were telling it to me out of the King James Bible. Here's what he said impressed me. He said, though that man was a Presbyterian, had the wrong Bible, he cared for my soul. Is anybody listening? Here's my point. God uses people we won't use. Amen and amen. I'm telling you, God will use people we won't use. Amen and amen. Notice, this backslid Jewish family introduced her to the God of heaven. It's because of this backslid family. I'm not promoting that. I'm just telling you, God used them. Amen and amen. The seed was planted by people we would never use. And I'm telling you, I can look back over my life, and I'm not here to preach on me tonight. I can look back over my life. Now, I would say most of y'all were raised in this environment. Thank God for that. Yeah. But then maybe somebody here, if you look back over your past, you've come a long way to get to this point. I tell you what, I can say this tonight. I've come a long way to get to this point tonight. Because God put people in my life that I wouldn't have used. Amen. Notice this. At point one, that didn't go over too good. Let me get point two. Point two, God uses problems. Now, all of this is to get us redeemed that we would worship God. God used problems. How do you know? Well, her husband got sick. She married Malon, and her husband got sick. Malon means puny. I believe he named it that because he was out of the will of God when he had them boys. He got away from God, amen, and God touched his children. Are y'all listening? I will say this to you tonight. When you get away from God, that's probably who he's going to touch. Amen and amen. God's going to touch the very thing. Sometimes we say, you get away from God and God's going to clean your plow. Yeah, he's going to clean your plow probably through your children. You get away from God, here's been my experience of my little short ministry. You get away from God, God's probably going to deal with your children. Amen and amen. Amen. My point is simply this. Her husband got sick. Amen. Notice this. Her husband died. They're out of the will of God. Amen. And she is married to this Jew who she was not supposed to be married to. And God let her husband die. Out of that, she had financial problems. What are you trying to say? Well, back in them days, when you was a widow and you didn't have a husband, you was in a financial strait. And so he died. But God had a welfare system. God said, drop some handfuls of purpose. Yeah. Now, this welfare system, you didn't walk up to the mailbox and get a check. You had to work for it. Amen, amen and amen. So if you sat home, amen, God was going to take care of you, but you had to go down to the field to get it. Somebody help me. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm simply saying that God used financial problems in her life to get her to that field. So she could meet Boaz. We had a lady in our church, her husband was in prison. Man in our church is the chaplain of the prison. And this woman, husband was getting out of prison. Well, we was working with him in the prison. And on Thursday, he said, I've been in prison 5 years. He said, I'm getting out of prison tomorrow. And he said, I'll see y'all in church Sunday. And my wife is coming. Me and my wife, I'm getting out Friday. Me and my wife will be in y'all's church Sunday. So he went to check out on Friday. And Brother Harvard, this is the honest to God truth. While he was signing his name, he dropped dead. And Brother Lance, who's the chaplain, had to call the family. And he said, I hate to tell you all this, but your daddy, your husband, Miss Brenda, just died. And they thought it was a joke. They hung up the phone. So he said, no. I called back and said, this is not a joke. He literally died. Well, out of that situation, we got to working with her and got her to come to church. And out of that situation, she got saved. God used the death of her husband to get her out of church to get saved. She had no place to stay. She got saved. She's living with a heathen family. I'm talking about ungodly, wicked family. And so we said, if you stay in that environment as a new Christian, Miss Brenda, you ain't going to make it. So we did one of them fixer-upper deals that they got on the home and garden. We got our little trailer. We fixed it up. We put flowers around it. I mean, we did it up right. And we brought her up there after service on Sunday. Amen. Put blind. We didn't have one of them shields you pull back. You ladies know where I'm coming from? But we blindfolded her, got out the car, walked up to the house, took the blindfolders off, amen. And Miss Brenda said, ah! We gave her a house. She got all of that and got saved because her husband died. God, she probably never would have knew God had a husband not died. God uses problems in our life to get us to God. Hey, I say this to my church all the time. I'd rather get cancer and get saved and go to heaven than never have cancer and go to hell. How many have we reached because they had problems? Problems get people to God. We got a men's home because they got problems. Problems get people to God. You couldn't have never coaxed them guys to come to church, but they got problems. Got a call coming up here today. I got a problem, preacher. Can I send you a man? It's that way all week long. I mean, call after call after call. Problems. And some of them get saved. Go to the prison, preach in the prison. You know, them black boys would never let this white boy preach to him. Them. But they're in prison. Nanny let me holler at them. Are you listening? Had one guy in prison. I'm telling you, I've seen tattoos now. But I'm telling you, I've never seen this many tattoos. This guy, it wasn't a place you could see on his body. He had them on his head. And he come to service one night in the prison. And the next day he went to Chaplain Neal's office. He said, "Chaplain Neal, I don't know what church is. I've never been to church last night." But he said, "I can't get over that." He said, "I've even called my wife. I'm telling my wife, go to church." He probably told her, "Go to Catholic church." I don't know where he told her. He said, "Find a church and go to it." Said, "They got something down there I have never experienced before." And that man kept coming. That man got gloriously saved.
Amen.
I mean, gloriously saved. So he lives, he got out of prison, lives 100 miles, lives in Columbia. We're 100 miles away. He called me up. He said, "Brother Willis, I told you when I got out of prison, I was going to come to your church." I said, "Amen. We've heard that before." He called me up on a Sunday morning, had his family in the car. He said, "Brother Willis, I'm on the way." I said, "On the way where?" He said, "I'm on the way to your church." I said, "Bruh, he got that for everybody else. Somebody help me." Hey, at our church, we got men that, I don't know how they started all this. They come to me about that. Preacher, somebody might break into church and we need security outside. I said, "Oh, well, whatever you think anyway." So they got guns. And they walk around. Now they got the permits conceal your guns. But they walking around with them showing. They ain't got the coats on. I said, "The internet's running all over the world. People see y'all walking around the church. You look like you're from Texas." Amen. I said, conceal them. You ain't supposed to walk around with your gun showing. Who's coming to church? They think you're going to shoot them, man. I ain't trying to make y'all laugh. Conceal your gun. Old Mark come walking in one Sunday. Hey, they come to my office. Got there early. Sat down in my office. I talked to him and his wife. I didn't know, never met her before. I said, "Ma'am," I said, "is your husband?" She said, "Preacher, I don't know you and you don't know me, but I don't hardly know him. This is not the same man I used to know. He would fight anything, brother. But God saved him." And he said, "Preacher, I'm excited about going to church today. I done drove 100 miles. You're the first one to get there." Isn't it amazing that the people who live the furthest are the first ones to show up? So we had a little session there in the office. Amen. We got up to go into the church. Amen. Old Mark walked in. Our people all up. I mean, this boy, he's an eye catcher now. I mean, everybody. And I'm thinking, conceal. I said, "Don't conceal them. Reveal them." Amen. And boy, he's got that prison mentality. The choir starts singing. They get up and sing. Oh man, he's just, I said, "Dear God, give me 100 of them." Amen. You know how he got there? He was in prison. He served 22 years in prison and 10 years in solitary confinement. And this is his story. A man come to me that was a guard. And the guard told me, he said, "I don't know what I see in you, but I'm going to try to get you off of this solitary confinement." He said, "Let me tell you something, sir. I don't need your help. I don't want your help. Don't you do nothing to help me. Because if you help me, I'm going to be worse." And the guard, a black guard, told him, said, "You can't change my mind. I'm going to try to get you out of here." Got him out. Got him moved. Got him to another penitentiary where Brother Lance is the chaplain. And he got saved. The hand of God. I am telling you, God used his problems to get him to God. God uses problems to get us to God. I just found this out. Most people ain't looking for God. God's got to rattle their cage. God's got to take something from them. God's got to do something to them. I don't know. Hey, that's how I pray. God, whatever it takes. I had a man I couldn't talk to for God. I mean, he liked me. I'd go talk to him. We'd talk that. But I mentioned the Lord. He said, "Now, preacher, I respect you. I care for you. But I don't want to talk about that. So don't come to my house and talk about it." I could not talk to him. But he went to the doctor one day. Does everybody know this story? And the doctor said, "Mr. Pipkin, you are eat up with cancer." You know what he did? Get the preacher. They put diapers on him like a baby. I'm telling you, problems will get people to God. You know what got Ruth to God? Problems. That's how she met Boaz. Amen and amen. Hey, I'm just simply saying, what problem you had to get you to God? What problem have you had to get you right with God? I found this to be true. God used problems to get you saved, but God used problems to get you right. Amen and amen. Notice this. What else does God use? God uses people that we would never use. God uses problems that we don't think we ought to have. Then God uses places. Notice this, and I'm almost through. Look in verse 3. The Bible says, she went, chapter 2, verse 3, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on part of the field belonging to Boaz. Just happened so, she got in Boaz's field. You think God had anything to do with that? Here's my point. Can you imagine leaving Moab and coming to Bethlehem, Judah? I thought about that when I think about it, see people coming out of church. Like Mark that I just mentioned. They're out there living in a world of perversion. Moab's a land of perversion. And yet they walk in our church. And they're leaving a land of perversion and walking into a place of praise. You think they feel uncomfortable? I tell you they feel uncomfortable. I try to do I give it everything I got. When those kind of people walk in my church, I want to be the first one back there to shake their hand. Sure. Are you listening to me? God uses people. God uses places. God uses places, amen, that God can speak to people's hearts. Hey, notice this. She has left the land of Moab. She has now walked into Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and the house of praise. Amen and amen. My wife was listening to a preacher on the radio, and this is what she said. My wife was she was working at the bank at that time, and she was listening to an old-fashioned Baptist preacher on the radio. My wife was raised Methodist. And she said, and this preacher had a name as being wild and fundamental. And she started listening to him on the radio on the way to work in the morning. And she said, if anybody would have asked her, because he was well known, she said, if anybody would have asked her, she'd have said, no, I'm not listening to him. Because he had a name for being, a very fundamental preacher. Dressed right, lived right. And he was well known in our area for that. And so she started listening to him. And God used that preacher to start planting the seed of God's word in her heart. Somebody that she wouldn't even acknowledge. And so she started listening to him, amen. And then a preacher come to the church I grew up in. Grew up in a Southern Baptist church. And a preacher come to our church all the way from Michigan. And he preached a revival in the Baptist church that I grew up in. She's raised Methodist. So Mama got me and my wife to go to church. And in that service, they give an invitation. And for the first time in her life, she heard the gospel. She's 23 years old, had never heard the gospel before. And they come down to the invitation. They give an invitation. And my wife stepped out and walked down the aisle. And I thought right then, I am in a world of trouble. And she gloriously got saved. And so she kept listening to that preacher on the radio. And then we had a child, and she was working as a beautician, because she's a beautician now, and she had to have somewhere to put the baby. And so we put Marcy in the daycare center. Guess what daycare center we put him in? That fundamental preacher. Anybody listening? And through that, she started witnessing to me. And for 3 years, my wife stayed faithful to God. Now, I'm telling all this to get to a place, all right? For 3 years, she stayed faithful to God. I'd go out and stay out all night, and I'm not proud of that, and I'm not going into all that. But I'd go out and stay out all night and run with the boys, and I'd come in the morning, and my wife would fix my breakfast. And I'd go to the work, and them guys said, man, me and my wife had a knockdown drag out last night. We stayed out all night. And they said, what did your wife do, Willis? I said, she fixed my breakfast. They said, what? They said, man, I wish I had a wife like that. I said, I don't. It's killing me. Did anybody listen? And she stayed faithful to God and stayed faithful to God and stayed faithful. And then one night invited me to go to a gospel singing at a Pentecostal church. Notice it was a singing. She didn't tell me nothing about preaching. She said it was a singing. And they got me in that building with 400 people. Amen. And the Kingsmans were singing. And Ronnie Henson and the Hensons were singing. And I was sitting on the back row. And 400 people in the building. And the man that was singing in between those songs said, hey, sir, you on the back row. 400 people. He said, you need to get right with God. You need to get saved. And my wife was there and my mama was there. And they're praying, get him, God. And I'm holding on to a chair. And he's saying, this is the honest to God truth. I'm telling you this is what the man said. He said, sir, you on the back row. On the back row. And I'm on the back. He said, if you would turn loose that chair and just step out in the aisle, God would help you take the rest of the steps. And my wife praying, get him, God, get him. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm debating on what I'm going to do. Amen. I'm going to tell you, she's praying over there. Mama's praying over there. God's hitting me on the back of the head. That man's hollering at me. Somebody help me. I'm hung over from drinking all day. And I'm telling you, I said, I'm turned loose the chair, stepped it out, run down the aisle. God saved me. And Ronnie Henson, when I got up, Ronnie Henson came over. He led me to the Lord. He said, Brother Willis, he said, you're my brother now. I said, amen. He said, you hold on now. Uh-oh. I said, amen, brother. I held on for about a year or two. Working with a Church of God guy. He said, Brother Willis, you need the Holy Ghost. I'm praying, God, get me the Holy Ghost. Give me the Holy Ghost. Come walking out the woods one day, down there where I was raising my hog to butcher. And the Bible said this, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I found out when I got Jesus, I got God the Father, I got God the Son, and I got God the Holy Ghost. I got full of the Holy Ghost. And I did start talking different. Amen. God uses people and problems, and God gets us in places that He can deal with our hearts. Amen. You know why? He wants us to worship Him. He redeems us to worship Him. Amen and amen. Amen. After me and my wife got saved, we was in a dead church. I feel like this is too much about me. But we was in a dead church. I mean, no life. Preacher wouldn't preach. Scared to preach. And my wife started listening to, Dr. Harold B. Seitler on the radio. Didn't know who he was. And Dr. Harold B. Seitler come on the station, and my wife started listening to him, and she said, Alfred, she said, listen to this preacher on the radio. And I started listening to Dr. Harold B. I would pull up in my driveway after Sunday church. 12 o'clock. We started 10 o'clock sharp, turned up 12 o'clock dull. I'd pull up under my carport at 12 o'clock. And the bright spot out on Sunday, his worship service was at 12 o'clock. And I would sit there and listen to Dr. Seitler while she was cooking dinner. And something within me, when he was saying, I said, that's right. Amen. Amen. I said, Mama, we got to go to this little country church up there in Greenville. I'm thinking it's a little church out in the woods. We pull up to Greenville. Tabernacle. We walked to that 1,500 people. Amen. Shouting and praising God. I never forget that one guy jumped up, clicked his heels together, run up in the vest of you, run out of the vest. Woo! Glory! And he come back there, jumped up, clicked his heels together, and Dr. Titus said, we're not emotional. I said, I punched my mama. I said, I've never been around that now, Pentecostals, but no Baptists. And I punched mama. I said, what are they going to do when they get emotional? And here's what Dr. Seitler said. He said, what you just saw that brother do, that's not emotionalism. That's real.
Yeah.
He said, he put his tithes in, he put his mission offering in, and he'll be back tonight, and he'll be back Wednesday night. Yeah. He said, that's not emotionalism, that's real.
Yeah.
Hey, the natural outcome of being redeemed is to worship the God of heaven. I'm in a part of the country. This is foreign in a Baptist church. Dr. Seitler stepped in my pulpit and said this. He said, preaching down around Charleston. He said, settled by Episcopal. Formal, starchy, dry religion. He said, but I prayed for years that God would raise up independent Baptist churches in the lower part of the state. And God, and I say this reverently, now I'm saying that God answered the old man's prayer. We have a champ meeting now, runs 700 in the night services. God is raising up fundamental Baptist churches in the lower part of the state. Is anybody listening? Because I believe Dr. Seitler prayed for that to happen. He said, hey, y'all settle by Episcopal. He said, up in Greenville, in the foothills, we settle by Baptist. Our forefathers have been shouting and praising God for Pentecostalism to ever come. Here's what I'm talking about, church. I'm talking about God redeemed me. I realize where I am. I'm not in the low country of South Carolina tonight. I'm in the, let's call this the mountains. You know what God wants? He wants worship. Amen and amen. God redeemed us to worship Him. Now, I want to say something, church. I want to say something. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said in our text right here, me and Ronnie Young helped me with this. Notice this. It said, and the women, verse 40, and the women said to them, blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman. And verse 17, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. Call him Obed. Here's what Brother Ronnie helped me with. He said the excitement of that boy, as he kept saying, the women did that. The women, not the mama. The women did that. The women. The women saw the excitement of them having that boy. And he said, we probably ought to call that boy worship. Anybody listening? They are excited about Obed. They are excited. Let's call him worship. Here's what I'm saying to us tonight. We need some excitement. Amen and amen. Praise God. I didn't come up here to say this because y'all do this all the time. But I'm telling you, God visited our church. And I couldn't say this every Sunday I come up here. But God visited our church yesterday like we ain't been visited in a long time. I'm telling you, them young people yesterday, dear God, they were shouting it out, friend. And I when it broke in, I just walked to the pulpit and I said, and I don't always do this because I love to preach, but I'm telling you, when it broke out, amen, I just said this to my church. Now, I'm not saying we do it and y'all don't. I'm saying we need to do it more. I'm telling you, it broke out. They were shouting, amen. I couldn't even hear myself. Is anybody listening? Y'all have them all the time, but I live in the low country. I ain't in Tennessee. I'm in the low part of South Carolina. Dead, dry religion. Nobody shouts down there but Pentecostals. But oh, we catching up. They started shouting yesterday. I'm telling you, preacher, you could have heard them a mile down the road. It broke out. It broke out on the platform. It broke out in the congregation. It broke out. So, y'all don't tell nobody this. I climbed up and stood up on the pulpit. And then I got up there and I said, how in the world am I going to get down? Is anybody listening? Hey, I'm going to tell you what God wants. God is pleased with that. I don't even like to use this illustration. I don't even want to use this illustration. But why would everybody else get excited about what they're doing in the world and we don't get excited? I told our church, I said, take your children to a dead church and they will never get right with God. And I told them this too. Daddy, if you ain't shouting, why should Junior shout? Daddy, if you ain't testifying, Mama, if you ain't testifying, why should your daughter testify? I'm telling you, God is worthy of our worshiping. That's why He saved us. He didn't save you to get your tithe. He saved you to worship Him. If you worship Him, you will tithe. Dear God, I feel a little burst of energy right here. Amen and amen. My point is sent to this. You know what God did? God said, God, He told them women, said, name him Obed. Amen and amen. Hey, Boaz had no trouble marrying Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. Boaz didn't have no trouble marrying Ruth. Why? Because his mama was Rahab. He said, I don't have no trouble marrying that Moabite. My mama was a harlot. And look what God did for her. If God can do that for mama, God can sure do that for her. Somebody help me, amen. Matter of fact, I think I preached that here before. Amen. Hey, notice this. I'm glad them guards, them spies went over there and spent the night in her house. God sent them spies over there and Rahab put them in her house. I read it in Joshua chapter 2. She put them spies in her house. You know what her house was? It was not a nice place. But guess what? Solomon was one of the spies, what I read. I'm glad he stayed pure. He spent the night in a harlot's house and stayed pure. Aren't you glad he didn't mess up? Because of the result, he married Rahab. This is what I read now. He married Rahab, and Rahab, so Rahab married Solomon. Solomon had Boaz. Boaz had Obed. Obed had Jesse. Jesse had David, and David had Jesus. Because that boy stayed pure, the end result of that was the Son of God. Pays to stay pure. Amen and amen. Hey, I'm glad he stayed pure. Glory to God. I'm through. Notice this. Ruth now is married to Boaz, and they had a little boy named Obed. Can you imagine when she held that little boy? Knowing where she comes. You know what they did? You know what they did in Moab? They took their children and offered them to false gods. Had a god named Chemosh. They would offer their children to false gods. Amen. Sacrifice their children. And she's holding Obed. And she's maybe even thinking, I'm thinking in my mind, she might be thinking about, I wonder where Ophrah is. Ophrah's back in Moab. And she got married and had children. She might be offering her children to false gods. Hey, if you hadn't got saved, think where your children be tonight. Anybody listening? One of the wonderful things about getting saved, as early as we did, and I got saved a little bit later in life, but I'm saying I got saved in time enough that it didn't affect my children. My daughter's saved. Amen. She's the church pianist. Her family's saved. She got 3 sons. All of them saved. All of them play music. I ain't bragging. I'm just saying, hey, think if I hadn't got saved, what that would affect it. So all of her family saved. Then my son Philip, he's saved. And his wife saved. And they got 4 kids, and all of them saved. And all of them's involved in the church. I am sure glad that I got saved so my family could get saved. Glory to God. That's enough to shout on. Glory to God. I ain't preaching this like I want to, but I'm trying. She's holding that little baby. And she's thinking, Lord, you have been so good to me. I married the boy, and he's wealthy. I wish my daughter found a wealthy man. Somebody hit her. She's holding that boy and saying, I'm married to Boaz. Now I got a baby. Dear God, you realize she had a spell? And it could have been another story. And I'm saying to y'all tonight, it could have been another story. Had you not gotten saved when you did, your children could be in the world. But thank God tonight by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. Hey, God redeems us to worship Him. Amen and amen. I read this. Worship's used 108 times in the Bible. Notice this, praise is occupied with blessings, prayer is occupied with needs, but worship is occupied with the Lord. And I found this to be true. Here's what Mr. Spurgeon said. This capped it off for me. This is probably why I'm preaching. Mr. Spurgeon said this. He said, praise and worship is the rent God requires for the use of His mercy. He said, your worship is what God requires. There's the rent God requires for the use of His mercy. It's a sad day in our churches. And I know where I'm preaching. But it's a sad day in our churches when God has done so much for us and we don't praise Him. Amen. He inhabits His praise. The Bible said He inhabits praise. You want God to move in your... I can't explain that. It wasn't nothing we did just last night. And y'all have them services. I'm not saying we do and y'all don't. Y'all have more of them than we do. But I am telling you, it's a sad day when we don't praise and worship the God who saved us. Because that's why He saved us. And I really think it ought to be vocal. I know worship's in the heart and praise comes out the mouth. Amen. You worship in your heart and it comes out. You express it with praise. Amen and amen. What are you trying to say? Well, I noticed this in chapter 1. There was no worship. Nothing but grief in chapter 1. And chapter number 2, they're gleaning. But there's no worship. Listen to this now. Don't fall out with me on this. Hey, soul winning does not take the place of worship. Matter of fact, soul winning ought to come out of worship. I think sometimes we get mechanical and our heart's not in it. But if you worship God, you've got to tell somebody. We're trying to do it with the energy of the flesh instead of the excitement of God in us. Amen and amen. I ain't preaching this to get a shout. I'm preaching this because I need it. Brother Ronnie Young, me and him preached down in Georgia just the other day. He preached that message last year in our Jubilee. He preached on, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. He preached that at our meeting last year. Well, me and him in Georgia the other day, and he preached it again. I got more out of the second time than I did the first time. And I went back to the church, and I said, church, bring your sacrifice to church. What is that, preacher? The fruit of your lips, giving thanks to His name. God wants us to thank Him and praise Him and worship Him. I ain't trying to work nothing out. I'm just trying to tell you, that's why God redeemed us. He went to great lengths. He had problems and people you would never use. He put us in right places to get us redeemed to worship God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to be behind on the rent. Praise God. Any of y'all behind on your rent? Are you caught up on your rent? I'm through. I was standing in front of the mirror back when I preached this message. I was standing in front of the mirror in the morning getting ready. And I don't want this to come off wrong. I had to preach that night, and then I was going to preach a few more places that week. And I was looking in the mirror. And I'm 73 years old now. I'm not much on all the technology. But my grandson showed me that you can pull up music on your telephone. So I got me up my phone there, and I pulled up some music on the phone while I'm shaving. So I'm looking in the mirror, and I got me some good gospel music playing right there. And I'm looking in the mirror, and I said, well, I got to go preach tonight, and then I got to go there, and then I got to go there. Brother Leland, I ain't saying that to say I preach. I was just thinking about how in the world do I get to do that? And about that time on the telephone, can you understand? You get music on the telephone. You can. Good music. And about that time, they come on the music on the telephone. And say, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins. For I, who was wretched and lost, now can sing. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. And then he went, and I am telling you, brother, on that second verse, I lost it. Dear God, I wish I could tell you I did this every day. Preacher, I tell you, I broke down. I started crying. And I said, God, what you have done for me when you saved me and saved my family and put us all together. Because me and my wife was headed to divorce court. But you put us together. Oh, God. I threw my hands up in the air. And I am telling you, I didn't want nobody in the room. I worshiped the God of heaven that redeemed my soul. And God looked down and said, I'm well pleased with you. When's the last time you had a spell? When's the last time you paid your rent? I know I'm preaching in a church that does that, but I'm telling you, we all probably need to catch up on our rent. Amen and amen. When's the last time you had a spell? When's the last time you looked at your family and you said, God, I'm married to Boaz? A Moabite married to Boaz? That's enough to shout on right there. When's the last time you looked at your family and said, God brought us together. God gave us a family. He is worthy to be worshipped. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for letting us be here. And Lord, if nobody needs this, I do. And God, I pray you'd help us now. Lord, touch hearts, work in lives, meet needs. Pray you get glory to yourself. Lord, this week in these services, I do want to preach the right messages. And God, I pray you'd get glory to yourself. Help us now, Lord. Touch your people. Help your people. Lord, we need revival, and only you can bring that. But I want to be where, Lord, you can work in my life. So help me to be right with you. Bless this service. Bless this invitation. And get glory to yourself. Certainly, if there's somebody here tonight without Christ, help them to know that you love them and sent your Son to die for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Musicians are playing. Maybe we could get a song tonight, if you would, and let's sing a song. Invite you to come if you need to come. Amen. If you're here tonight not settled, not sure about your salvation, though we preach to the church, get some help tonight. Amen. We're fixing to sing. Amen. Pastor, I'm going to ask you to come. Father, I say again, I pray again, please, please, please bless the invitation now. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's just keep our...